The reading from Micah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8, and can be found on page 757 in the Church Bible. The Lord's case against Israel. Listen to what the Lord says. Stand up, plead my case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear, you mountains, the Lord's accusation. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a case against his people. He is lodging a charge against Israel. My people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me. I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam. My people remember what Balak, king of Moab, plotted, and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of the world? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Thanks be to God.
This reading is from Matthew chapter 5 and verses 1 to 12. It's the introduction to the Sermon on the Mount. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. These are the Beatitudes, he said. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Amen.
Thank you, Hazel and Mike, for the readings from God's Word. Now, the Beatitudes follows the previous chapter in Matthew, the call of the disciples, when Jesus says to them, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And I think the Beatitudes are his way of saying the kingdom of heaven is here and now. It's not anything we wait for. It will be something we wait for, but it's also here and now. And as we've reflected on the idea of blessing, I wonder if these Beatitudes are pointers for us to better recognise the reign, the kingdom of God, when we encounter it here and now, and helps us to walk more closely with God. And over the past few days, when preparing for Sunday, I've reflected on these familiar words and consciously tried to look for signs of the nearness of God's reign, God's kingdom. And you'll be able to think and recognise some of your own experiences as you listen over the past few days or in your life. And you may have some to share in our time of sharing. I wonder who these are. Who are the poor in spirit, or those who mourn, or those who are meek, or those hungering and thirsting for righteousness? Might I be able to bear witness to acts of mercy and purity of heart, and those doing all they can to actually make peace? Indeed, might I catch a glimpse of what it is to be persecuted for the sake of Jesus? With Jesus teaching as a guide and reflecting on our own life experience, let's allow it to encourage us to live more powerfully, even from what sometimes feels a place of weakness, in our own reaching out for the sake of the gospel. So we start with, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Walking through Cambridge this week, I thought there were many more homeless people setting up camp in the shop doorways. These people are poor in material goods, but possibly rich in spirit as you catch their eye. Those who work with the agencies who care for those who are homeless know the riches of getting to know those who live on the streets. And the churches and the synagogue in Cambridge are collaborating, and I think it's for the 15th year, through these winter months, severe weather emergency provision, it's called, to provide a hot meal and warm overnight accommodation for around 15 men and women each night, in collaboration with Jimmy's. So the question I'm challenged by is this: am I comfortably off as I am amongst the poor in spirit, or is it those who sleep on the streets? Just a question that came into my mind. Will they be, or are they already, first in the kingdom of heaven? Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. I'm a volunteer with the chaplaincy at the hospice now, and I'm available to listen to patients and relatives, as well as those who are very unwell. Some people need to talk and talk, and others would rather keep their feelings to themselves. We're all different, and we respect that. And we are all in mourning at some level whenever we know a loved one's life is limited. It's called anticipatory grief. And grief, as many will know, involves every emotion under the sun at any moment. It takes us unawares, it knocks us sideways, as several poets have described it. So a person might seem to be completely together and then suddenly fall apart when a friend, a chaplain, any listener is kind and offers them time. And this very week I heard the entire life story of a relative when I had gone to visit her mother. This involved several losses, severe losses, which she wanted to share. Very tough, even ahead of the thought and the reality of losing her mum. And I just listened. I didn't have a moment to speak any words of Christian hope, because she was talking all the time. But my presence and the gift of time must have been sufficient, for she thanked me. And she said she felt so relieved to speak about these things and now felt she could concentrate on her mum. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. These are words of scripture from Matthew that I invariably use at the welcome in a funeral service, and at such a time we all need the comfort that God alone can give. But it feels to be a paradox, doesn't it? When we're sad, how can we feel comforted? Well, offering comfort for those who are in grief, those who are mourning, is a gospel imperative. God calls us to bring comfort in such situations, and the compassion that we're given by God will give the help that's needed for healing. So we call on God's strength to be the one a person needs at such a time. And how many times have you found that you're in the right place at the right moment for somebody to listen to their grief? Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. I don't think God wants us to be meek like doormats, as we must be co-workers in God's kingdom work. But there's a sense in that the meek are overlooked. No one knows what they're doing. It looks like not very much. But I was at a funeral, not one that I was taking, a month ago, for a woman who was described as the leader from within. She was gentle, yet she got things done, and she was instrumental in her church of managing a building project, which has been brought to fruition most wonderfully. For sure, this woman has inherited not only the earth, but her place close to the Father's heart in heaven. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. I wonder if you remember the prayers that went on and on and on to end apartheid in South Africa, or the fall of the Berlin Wall. There's other situations today, aren't there, that we pray for? Intractable situations, which sometimes it feels our prayers for righteousness to prevail are unheard. For wars continue and inhumanity exists in more than a few places. But we did see an end to apartheid. There's much more to do, of course, still. And we did see the wall fall. And God does hear our persistent prayer and will act. It takes ages for human beings to catch up with what God desires. But we must hunger and thirst for what we feel God wants us to work and pray for. Then we will be filled with the joy of God. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. There's a sense in this of we reap what we sow about this blessing. Being merciful towards another in a situation where you do not feel like being so will bring a reward. Perhaps a friend or a partner misunderstands you, and of course you feel like fighting your corner and proving you were right. We are human, but God's Spirit prevails, and you express your wish to reflect and come along the outside the other person who is immediately grateful, and life can start again. And there are many examples of those who show mercy and never regret it. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. I wonder, this came to me this week when I spend so much time on my iPad, and I do some preparation on my iPad, or on the computer, or writing emails, or reading, however worthy the content of my reading is. I wonder, am I making it hard for God to get through to me? Having a clear and uncluttered mind and spirit, freeing myself from worldly commitments, perhaps walking with no agenda but to focus on the beauty around us. Focusing on prayer does help to see God and the way forward God so desires for us. Yes, this surely helps us see the truths of God in Christ more clearly. So that's a question of willpower, isn't it? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. If we look back at the saints of peacemaking, and I thought immediately of Gandhi, of Nelson Mandela, and Martin Luther King, but there are many others. We will see that it took a work of the Spirit to achieve what they did. Long walks for Gandhi and a refusal to match violence with violence. Long years in prison for Mandela before he was able to unite different factions in apartheid South Africa. Deep, devout prayer and passion for God's word, plus huge courage, indeed martyrdom, for Martin Luther King to achieve great inroads into the racist divide between black and white in the USA. All succeeded. All would have called themselves, well, they may not have called themselves, but they would have experienced that they were children of God. But their work continues today through us. We are the children of God today. A group of us from Downing Place, URC, visited the new mosque this week. I don't know if any of you have visited the new mosque. Absolutely amazing building, an eco building. It's the only eco mosque in Europe, apparently. We were treated royally as brothers and sisters who love God, albeit in a different way. And a Muslim volunteer, ironically named Francis, lady, took us round and gently but clearly explained everything in that building that's newly designed to enhance their faith and their practice of prayer. And prayer is the key thing there. Though they do have a cafe that they like people to, from the public, to go in and use. Super place, absolutely beautiful. You come away feeling that that is a work of art, actually, by that architect. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I am sure the realm of God is here and now as well as in the future. But there are those who suffer badly for the sake of this kingdom, being cast adrift by their own families for following the faith and the teachings of Jesus. This isn't only in other lands, but here and now around us. Partners who are not believers, but yet who encourage their other half to practice the faith, are closer to God than they know, I'm sure. But there are many who do not encourage, and for whom it's a huge effort for the one who wants to be fully part of the faith community to fulfill that wish and attend worship. And we can help in small ways in this situation by not adding any pressure they feel, to any pressure they feel, by assuring them of God's love, even though they cannot get to church, by finding other ways to build them up in the faith. And I tell the story of a young person who comes to church only occasionally and has experienced, and I have witnessed this, those who say, "We haven't seen you for a long time," instead of, "How lovely to see you. How are you? How are things going?" I must admit, I nearly intervened. But I just managed to say to them later what I wanted to say. And so some questions to ponder. I wonder, we are Jesus' disciples here and now. He calls us to follow him, as he called Francis. How we follow depends on how closely we attend to his teaching. And I think living with the Beatitudes almost does it all for us. And they are signposts for recognizing the nearness of the reign of God. And so I encourage you, as you go about this week, to look for similar signs of the nearness of God's reign in these days. How can we all help one another to hone our eyes and our ears and our hearts to recognize it? And where might we encounter God's reign? In unexpected places in the days to come. And of course, just recognizing it doesn't answer the question of how these unlikely experiences actually are blessings, but it's a start. And at the very least, it seems to me, as we begin by encountering them, perhaps our understanding of the paradox of the Beatitudes will deepen in us as well. So I wonder what you think.